Good morning. Good morning. Republic of Texas Radio, today's date is Sunday, September the 22nd, or sorry, 27th. Yeah, getting a little bit of a slow start today. Again, like last week, I woke up way too dang early. But last week was kind of a strange little trip, and this week's going to be a stranger little trip. So I sat in bed and tried to think about the show the entire time. I did not think about the show and what I want to do and whatever, and you don't care about that, and I understand that. One point of business I'd like to point you to is there's going to be an interesting conversation on the network coming up in a few hours. That'll be 1 o'clock today, if I'm correct. Michael Storm is going to have Keane's, I don't even know how you do this, Araya DiMizio. He's that guy, right? Or girl. And I get so confused. He's going to be that person, right, that they're all talking about, the trans Republican statist or something like that. But he's an anarchist, and he's going to go up against the Democratic sheriff in Keene. It's going to be quite interesting. I don't know how much you guys like to have that conversation about what kind of a governing system is, how much your understanding of anarchy is versus, well, fascism, socialism, communism, capitalism, or republics. I kind of like republics myself. Republics seem like it's the least intrusive model. God, I wish we lived one in one. You know, wouldn't that be neat to go back to the Republic of the United States instead of America, the whatever the hell we're in? Didn't want to get too much into that, but that's today at 1 o'clock, Toward Anarchy. It's kind of fun. Listen to Michael Storm. I'll probably bring that up again towards the top of the hour. And let me focus you right now over to the chat room. Mer Bailey has dropped in a lot of good links, you know, at the beginning of the show, and they're really just news sites. They're good places to go to find news and information. So if you've never been there, go to republicoftexas.chattango.com. Some of the links that I'll be talking about during the show, I will go ahead and make a effort to drop those in, but I can't guarantee anything because me and the chat room's just, yeah, we have a history together. If not, well, I don't work good with chat rooms. That's just what needs to be said. And now we'll move on. Last week, I started the week telling you all about that movie that's kind of fascinated me. It's an independently created movie/series. It's called The Last Motorcycle on Earth. And, you know, I've watched it too much. You know, I'm probably at watching it 5 times right now, on and off. I'll sit there and I'll put it on and I'll look through it and I'll critique it over and over again. And I'll go, well, that wasn't very good acting, but it was a good script. You know what they're talking about. And the movie itself is about the future, right, and how the U.S. government goes forth and says, we're going to get rid of all internal combustion vehicles and people will no longer be able to drive cars because it's unsafe. So we're going to go ahead and do what? We're going to build autonomous network all across the United States, and we're going to have these cars that are driven by computers controlling everything. Now, do you think that that's that far off? Because I don't. I see it all the time right now. You know, what they call a self-driving car, which is a computer-driven car. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a self-driving car. It can be a car that's driven, you know, that has some kind of brains and capacities within the car. You just stick your everyday chicken into the car and you can bring it over to your neighbor's house real quick or drive it, you know, halfway across the coast. Right? You know, here's this chicken, or you can put a human being in there. and that's just the way it is. But for all intents and purposes, the whole goal is to get you out of your car. And one of the reasons that the film, the series, because I'm not too sure what it is, right? It calls itself a series, a pilot. One of the goals is to get the people off the streets, because the computers see them as, well, random objects, and they're chaotic in nature. Yeah. I was going to play you a couple more clips, and I've got a couple backlogged. Maybe we'll get to them next week, because no sooner did I play some stuff from that and start talking about it, did Gavin Newsom, old San Francisco mayor, drove it into a pit of hell before he moved up to a bigger, better job of actually destroying California. Hang on a second. I'm having like an emergency. It's okay, man. I know. You stubbed your foot. Sorry, guys. We kind of got to take care of the kids. It's just me and the boy up this morning. But I'm talking about Gavin Newsom, right? And Gavin Newsom's not a... he's not a good man. I'll tell you that much. Not that I know of. He's the son or grandson or nephew of Nancy Pelosi, and we all know that she's like a work of art. But he's put forward legislation. No, he didn't put forward legislation. He put forward an edict that states what? That we're going to end internal combustion car sales in California by 2035. And he, well, so what, right? That's what everybody says. So what? Oh, that, yeah, good luck, California. No, you got to pay attention to that, because that's his intention. Now, it doesn't stick, but it flies up the flagpole, and everybody sees it and goes, oh, my. And the people that like this carbon trading and carbon footprint type stuff, they go, oh, yeah, but it's not soon enough. Not soon enough, they say. And others say, oh, that's just crazy. And some of us on the outside sitting here in Texas. Now, I'm a California refugee sitting in Texas. I've been here for over 10 years because the place was nuts then, and the place is nuts now. So I know a little bit about the California politics. But when California says something like this, I mean, it's not binding, right? It can be challenged, and that's not the point. It's up the flagpole now, right? And as soon as California goes that way, they're trying to egg all these other states to, well, switch to electric vehicles. And, well, they're going to switch to autonomous vehicles, too, and shorten the time span from 2035? Until 2030, most likely. But I don't know that. I'm just kind of crazy. Let's see. I think I have a clip on that. I remember, Connie, yeah. Hey, Ken, you want to grab that clip and maybe we could play that, and I'll tell you a little bit what was going on the clip. Yeah, the California gas ban clip. Why don't you roll that?
California is set to become the first state in the nation to phase out the sale of new gas-powered cars. A ban will go into effect 15 years from now. The state's governor says it's the right move for the environment and for business. Danya Bacchus reports from L.A.
Using the hood of an electric-powered Ford Mustang, Governor Gavin Newsom signed an executive order banning the sale of new gas-powered passenger cars by 2035.
If you want to reduce asthma, if you want to mitigate the rise of sea level, if you want to mitigate the loss of ice sheets around the globe, then this is a policy for other states to follow.
The mandate applies only to new cars. Californians will still be able to drive, buy, and sell gas-powered cars on the used car market.
I think it'll just make common sense to go that way.
Nothing can
compete with the sound of a naturally aspirated 6.2 liter V8.
Exhaust from cars, trucks, and other transportation are a large source of air pollution, and California has by far the most cars on the road than any other state.
Governor Newsom says his order will reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 35%. And not only will it help the environment, he says the electric car mandate will be good for California's economy.
Probably enough of that. You know, I didn't want to play the entire clip, mainly because it's stupid and it's propaganda, but it kind of proves my point. Now, I didn't know California was still so, what's the word, screwed up until I watched that clip. No, I had hints of it, you know, and I thought that it was kind of normalizing and whatnot, but I don't live there. And where I live, it's kind of like the inverse of California. The majority of people are average people, and the wackadoos are one-off, right? And in California, I think the wackadoos run the whole show, running around saying carbon credits and whatnot. And yeah, what else do you say to that except for that video, and I'm going to throw the link into the show, had something I haven't seen from news broadcasters since the beginning of the first corona. During the first corona, we had March of 2020, you had everybody running away from their jobs and hiding in their houses. And the anchors would sit there without makeup on and next to their bookcase and do a live stream and go, reporters in the field have masks on and they're going, you can't hear them, but then they're play acting, right? You know, this is all about play acting. They're pretending that a virus that isn't that powerful, that hasn't hurt that many people, is hurting a lot of people. And so you got the cross-contamination of a COVID scare propaganda piece, and they're telling us that we're going to lose all our cars in 15 years. But they're also saying, well, no, we're not going to take away your cars. No, you're not, but you might. And, well, in a few weeks, you know, during the election, that's going to come and that's going to play out. We're going to find out if Trump gets elected. We're going to find out if Biden gets elected. That's going to be a big, big change for the world either way. Now, I don't support Trump. I don't necessarily, when I say I don't support Trump, you got to take it in context. Maybe that we're caught between, do you want me to cut off my hand or cut off my leg, right? Because there's some parts of Trump that I don't support. Now, Alan has always had this, might have been co-opted theory going on, and I think I go with that one, or at least it seems plausible, because one inconsistency in Trump, and I'm not talking pro-Biden stuff or whatever, but I am bringing up the fact that Trump was an anti-vaxxer. He'd accused the pharmaceutical company of manufacturing autism. It wasn't those words. But he was also talking about how autism possibly or could, and I don't want to throw words in his mouth, but hey, you can go find out those words yourself. But he wasn't a pro-vaccine person. He didn't want to jab everybody. And now he's in the office and he's talking about a clean, beautiful virus. It's going to be a perfect vaccine. You're going like, what happened? What happened, dude? You know, I don't know. He's in charge, right? Masks don't matter. Masks do matter. And yeah, there's a lot of politics going on, I'm sure. But, you know, whatever that means, it just doesn't feel right. Well, if Biden wins, we're all screwed. Most likely, we're screwed no matter who works, who wins, I mean. So what difference does it make? Huh. Well, when given the choice to cut off my hand or cut off my leg, oh, shoot. Well, that's kind of a tough one. Yeah, some people say don't choose, and then they'll cut one off for you. And I don't know that I can do that, and I don't know what I do know. It's just a mess, folks. Get ready for November. November is a big month. Get your preps up. Get your, you know, get yourself the ability to protect yourself. And if you're in a city, get the heck out of there. You know, and I know it takes an awful lot to get the heck out of a city. Hey, you should have got out a long time ago. I got a story this week from a mother that I know that's outside in a different state. It's a sad story. It's a happy story. It's a what the hell ever story. But I'm happy about it, and she's happy about it. So I guess it's a good thing. During the COVID, her daughter had lost her job. First, they sent them home, right? They say, you're working from home. And they sit there and they answer the phone, and then that they figure out that that doesn't work. And her husband was sent home, and he's working from home, but then they figured out that didn't work. So they laid him off, or they fired him, or whatever. And so, well, that didn't work, and they had a kid. And the kid, you know, he's over a year old, year and a half old. And the rent just keeps going up. You can't get food during the time of COVID. They didn't even have a dang cracker in the box. You'd have to go wait in line to get into this. And it was just hell. And she sat there and said, hey, come on, you know, get out of there. Get out. Oh, we can't leave California. This is where our friends are. This is where, you know, my husband's ex lives with his kid. But you guys don't have money. Well, we'll figure it out. Well, how many months has that been? 6 months? 6 months, $2,400 a month for rent? Really? Los Angeles is expensive. And so, finally, it's over. They can't do anything. They have nothing except debt in this case. And so they're moving to the East Coast, to a rural town, you know, surrounded by trees, not in one of these fancy cities. And they feel it's terrible. But, you know, there's no work in California, at least where they're trying to find it. I'm kind of positive that they got the heck out of there, even though, well, it was forced and it kind of sucked. But those are the things that'll change your life when you figure out that, well, the government's not going to come to your aid. It was actually the little piece that tortured you. They shut down the businesses. They shut down the United States of America, the corporate United States of America. They shuffled the deck. You know, they put different businesses on the positive note. You know, we're coming up on a break, and I can get into that a little bit more. Actually, I did want to get into it, but I'll bump back onto my schedule. But I needed to tell you this story because these people, these two kids, okay, they're in their 20s, you know, high 20s, and they had a huge, beautiful future all painted. It was wonderful. And what happened? They yelled COVID in a crowded movie theater. And everybody ran, and they hid under their mattresses. They stopped getting money, you know, couldn't pay the bills. And then everybody left them. And now they're on to, well, eliminating cars. Huh. Go figure. Hang on, folks. We'll be right back. Republic of Texas Radio.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
All right. We're back. Yep, we're back. So it's California. California is back trying to boss you around, telling you tales woe from California. Hey, notice that we haven't been getting a lot of fire stories from California. What's that all about? Well, there's a lot of other stuff that they want to talk about. Does California really matter when they say 2035, they want to ban all car sales? Yeah, actually it does. I noticed that when I left California over 10 years ago. As I crossed the United States, I found out that, well, all these damn products have California approved on them. So you got crap carburetors and you got crap this, and everything's built for California because it has such a big market out there. So as an auto manufacturer, what are you going to do? Build a car for California and build a car for the rest of the corporate United States of America? No, you build one for California and you sell it to everybody. Right? So goes California, so goes the states. Is that going to go that way? I don't know. Logistics is going to be hard, nearly impossible. To try to source that many batteries for that many cars, what about the waste and the processing of these batteries? What are they going to make them out of? You know, are the car manufacturers are putting in, there's an equation. So if you ever do the cost of an electric car, you could do those searches on the internet and they come up going, oh yeah, electric cars are way cheaper and it costs you less to charge your car with a outlet from your home than gasoline, and you don't have to change oil and they don't break and they're like great. But that's just half the story, right? Imagine all the materials that are needed to create one of these electric cars. Now, in the early days of electric cars, they were actually looking at how much energy it takes to create the batteries, the circuit boards, the coils, the windings, the brain, you know, and all that other stuff. It takes a lot more energy to create an electric vehicle than it does to manufacture a standard car with an internal combustion engine. Now, that data right now is hidden. Wow, amazing, huh? How that goes. And so as you do your searches on the internet, and I'll come up with a link, you know, sooner or later, because we're going to continue the electric car conversation for the next coming weeks. But as you do the searches for, you know, what's the cost of an electric vehicle online, they'll sit there and they'll tell you stories about this mythical carbon footprint, right? And how, and it's like, dude, I don't want to deal with Pokemon dollars, right? Come on, what are we doing? You know, because carbon footprint means that I'm a global warmist, right? You know, and I believe in the mythical, you know, global warming, and I don't. And, you know, we could have that conversation, you know, that's fine. I'm not the best person to tell you that that's a bunch of load of, well, bull farts. But, you know, go ahead. Call me, 1-800-313-9443. Tell me how the world is going to end because of cow farts, cars, and this and that. And I'll tell you, well, the real deal is they want to kill you. They not necessarily they want to kill you. They want you gone, right? You know, we are past the age of man. We are going into the age of less men, and that's a stated goal. That's a goal that we've been working for 100 years. We haven't been working for it. We've just been along for the ride. We were useful at one time. Now we're out here and we're just a bunch of useless eaters. At least that's what they think. And for the most part, we might think that about our, you know, the people that are driving next to us in the car and in a car. Like, what the hell is this guy doing? He's crazy. Right? You know, the way he drives, what he drives and whatnot. You know, so we're all looking at each other with the same eyes. But if you look, and my whole point is being they want to eliminate people. Now, you can point to things, right? Like the, oh, God, what is the stones? The Rosicrucian thing. Oh, man. Ken, do you remember? Yeah, I'll get it here in a second. R.C. Christian has, like, the stones that were, we'll see. I'll remember it in a second. But the stated goals of the elite, the globalists, or maybe it's just the logic in itself when you're that rich and powerful, is at one point they needed a lot of manpower to do a lot of things. You know, to build a pipeline alongside of a road would require a whole bunch of cranes and this and that and a whole bunch of pipes. But now it requires technology and a few men, and they can get it done for the same. So you don't need 50, 100 men to make a water line that goes alongside the highway. You just need maybe 10, right? A couple pieces of machinery, the right machinery that was manufactured by robots, not men, in a assembly line. Yeah, the truth is they want us gone, and they're working that way. Hang on, folks. We'll be right back. Republic of Texas Radio.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispicos, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
All right. We're back. Republic of Texas Radio. Hey, I figured out what those stones were, and I'll give you that name here in a second. And, you know, is it important? I don't know. Probably is. You know, there's this question about who they, their, and them is. You know, is it the Jews? Is it the Illuminati? Right? You know, you can join the Illuminati by calling 1-800-333-3333. You know, I don't know. There's a lot of bull out there, too. But, hey, there's a lot of truth. We'll get back at it, but let's grab a phone call real quick, and let's see. I know there was one in the queue. Hey, Jerry in Chicago, what do you got for me?
Oh, it's Georgia Guidestones is what you're thinking of.
Go ahead.
It was printed in 10 different languages, and apparently 2 or possibly 3 of the languages haven't been spoken for hundreds of years. So they wanted everybody to get this point.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to get back to these electric cars. There was a design out probably between 10 and 15 years ago. And what it had was a main generator plant. So in order to get the vehicle rolling, you needed a little bit of battery power. And once the vehicle got rolling, the generator would charge the battery. But that wasn't the only generator. Every wheel had its own generator.
Mm-hmm.
So as every tire turned to full rotation, you're getting a charge from that, and it's a constant charging system is what it is. And it's one, maybe two batteries in series, maybe a 24-volt, who knows. But I haven't seen too much more of that design, probably because it was extremely effective and you didn't have to replace batteries every 5 years. I mean, you still have to do it here, but you wouldn't have to replace $3,000 or $4,000 worth of batteries every 5 years, like a Honda Prius or a Toyota Prius. I forget what Honda makes. But, yeah, it was a great idea. I've seen a lot of good ideas over the last 30 years in, like, popular mechanics that all of a sudden get squashed, get bought out, get put on a shelf by the same people who don't want that out there on the market.
That's the thing, you know. We know there's technology beyond the technology that we know of, and we know that it's been sitting, or at least you and I believe that we know, you know, and I've been paying attention. The first book on electric cars that I owned, I was probably about 14, 15 years old, and I got the general overview of how an electric car worked. Now, we haven't changed our thinking about anything for well over 100 years, and we believe that they're sitting on massive, I mean, we're making fun of Nikola Tesla, who, from all intents and purposes, created the Wardenclyffe Tower and was able to power things by that, right? And so we were like, wow, what do we know about electricity and power, scalar waves? But that's not what they're trying to do, right, I believe. What they're trying to do is create more of what we know in the name of climate change. And that's it. And it really feels like they're trying to just kick us out of our cars and eliminate that and go to something else. Well,
you know,
that's just my thought.
Something else I wanted to bring up, too, is that there was a race years ago, I want to say within the last 16, 17 years. And one of the vehicles that entered the race was the only diesel engine. I forgot who put it up, whether it be BMW or Mercedes-Benz or Audi. I can't remember. But these were open-wheel race cars. Now, the average speed of this diesel race car on the track was 123, 127 miles an hour. You got to slow down for the turns and speed up for the straightaway, things like that. The average fuel economy on this vehicle was 111 miles per gallon.
Yeah.
This was a good car.
Yeah, I know. They seem to be better for everything, except they don't like those. They really don't like diesels, and I'm not too sure why. In Europe, they're very popular. Here in America, they use that stuff called diesel fluid, I think it is. I don't own a diesel, so I don't own any new cars that are that crazy. But I do know that a lot of the people that run diesels out here get better gas mileage than internal combustion engines. They soup up the engine and they chip it and they put better exhaust. And then all of a sudden, you're pumping in 29, 30 miles to the gallon on a pick-em-up truck, you know, and you're like, whoa. And it's constant. But that's real. One of the questions is, Jerry, are they doing that to keep it off the road? Because you can run diesels off of so many different things. Gasoline's hard to make. A fluid to run a diesel is not. You know, you can run soybeans or you can run all sorts of stuff. But, who knows?
Well, I know the refining process for diesel is less steps, which means less money to create it. They don't need the sweet light crude, I don't believe, for the diesel. Where they do need it for the higher octane gasolines, and there's more refining involved in the gasoline.
And I'll give you an example. I had an 05 Ford Econoline, and I ran that thing down the road. It was a B plate. I ran it at about 9,200, 9,400 pounds maxed out on a regular basis. I was lucky to get 12 miles at a gallon on the highway. I got 10-something in the city. Now, I replaced that with a inline five-cylinder diesel turbocharged Transit, which is a C plate. I can carry up to 12,000 pounds, and I probably run it at about 11. I weighed it once. It was 11,540, but I took a few pounds off of it. And that truck there just got me 16,2 coming back from Iowa last week. It was only 12,9 going down, but I was running at about 84, 85 miles an hour on the way down. On the way back, I set the cruise more toward 65 to 70. And I seen where the fuel economy kicked in. So, but I still had it weighed down quite a bit. And the diesel starts every day. It warms up quick in the winter. It's much bigger truck. I can stand up in this one. I had to crawl in the other one for 15 years. It's probably why my knees are getting bad. But, I'd like diesels, and let's put it this way. That's all they offered when I drove a truck back in 1981, 1982 through 1990. I drove semis over the road. And, Jesus, you really didn't have too many problems with the diesel. Carry a spare fuel filter, and you can always prime the filter and stick it in there and change it out by yourself. And that was usually the reason the truck would stop on the road. It would gel up. Now they got things in there that heat the fuel as it goes through and goes back to the tank, and oh man, they've come a long way with innovation. In fact, these semis now, they get closer to 7 miles at a gallon, pulling, you know, to 80,000 pounds gross down the road versus the 4.3, 4.4, a good day, 4.5 back in 1982.
So, yeah. You know, Ken brought up the fact that they can run on French fry oil, and I did that for a summer. Ran a diesel on catfish oil, right? The oil used to fry catfish. The problem with a lot of that oil or processing used waste cooking oil is the processing thing, or has to be hot. But diesels are very interesting to per se. You know, traveling from California, hauling an Airstream, we were pulling around 12 miles to the gallon. Didn't matter. This little Ford, it always made 12 miles to the gallon, 12, 12.5, something like that. You could pull just about anything, and it was always 12, right? Itself, 12. But when I was towing with my Southwind, I'd get 5 miles to the gallon, you know, six, and I'm like, whoa, dude, I don't know anything of big block 454, you know, crazy bad mileage. But the thing is, we're talking, Jerry, about the past. These engines have been around for over 100 years or more, and there's so many modifications that they could have undergone, but they don't. They hold stuff back from us. For what reason? Is it for capitalistic reasons? Or is it just like where it's not time for us to disclose yet or something like that? I guess we'll know soon enough, maybe.
Think about the guy who invented the diesel engine. His name was Ferdinand Diesel. And it became extremely popular, extremely quick. And this guy got on a boat to cross the English Channel, and they found his body 3 days later. Somebody threw him overboard, beat him on the head, threw him overboard, because it was probably a paid shill from the Rockefellers, because Rockefellers were into gasoline. They could be into diesel, too, and still make money, but what if everybody switched to diesel and said they demanded from the automobile manufacturers when they went in there, the Ford Model T or the Ford Model A, hey, listen, we want a diesel engine instead of a... Dak Ford invented his first vehicle. He was a farmer. Think about it. He grew hemp on his property. He ran it on hemp fuel. You know? Ethanol, I should say. So, yeah, that's all interesting stuff. And remember, too, Ford used to put a copy of the Oh, what was that? The Jewish newsletter. Yeah. He used to put a cop in the compartment of his vehicle. So I mean, he was wise
to that. But I've actually seen a copy. Alan has one.
Yeah, the International Jew.
There you go.
That was that paper was called, and I think he was wise to this stuff. And I think sooner or later they won Ford over. I don't know if it was the crash of 29 or what, but they said, you need to get on our team or we'll ruin your life. We'll ruin your business, you know, everything else like that. And I don't think Ford was big enough in stature or power or wealth in order to fight these people off. So I think he joined sides with them. So,
Well, yeah, he did, right? You know, he was helping Hitler build trucks and vehicles, if I'm not incorrect. And as the U.S. Air Force bombed Ford plants in Germany, we paid for rebuilding them. There was some crazy stuff going on there. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
And the Bushes also seem to own a steel factory over there, and they use the slave labor to run the factory.
Mm-hmm.
IBM was also over there.
Right, it was an international thing. You know, it was,
yes, General Motors was there. They had, who else? They had Ford, General Motors. They had the Dodge Brothers. We're over there. They all had businesses over there. Okay, so it's just not the bankers making money on the wars. It's the corporate businesses. Now, if something else pops up, you're going to see places like Jeffrey Bezos and Amazon. You're going to see Google. You're going to see all of these people jumping in. PayPal. They seem to be untouchable by our government, and our government is in bed with them.
For sure. And it's that's why it's easy to say that our government sure the hell looks fascist to me, right? But then now all of a sudden when I say that, I sound like an Antifa or a black, like, oh, look, fascist. But hey, shoe fits, kind of, right? You know, they're, how can they be right and wrong? They can. They do it. But they're socialists and communists, and I don't like either one of those either. But we're in a whole world of hurt, and when you bring up the fact that Ford started with the International Jew, right, being shipped, and the International Jew, folks, if you don't know about it, talked about the Holocaust, and it talked about the Holocaust story that occurred in World War One, but it's the exact same story that they say occurred in World War II. And so both World War One and World War II, the exact same thing happened. And Ford had outlined this in a series of letters that, or articles that he had printed in a local paper. He bound it all together and he shipped it, the International Jew, with all the Ford Model Ts or Model As. And then all of a sudden he's in Germany building the thing. It's kind of crazy. I don't know where to put it. Is that the same as Trump? You know, Trump seemed to be real. And now I'm not too sure. I have reservations. Don't like the Democratic Party. You know, they seem crazy. I don't know. What do you think there, Jerry?
I agree with you. It's not making a whole lot of sense. And I mean, we just got to bide our time. And more in the past weeks, I've heard different guests on different shows come on, whether it be this network or another or another. And they're all saying the same thing. Get yourself at least 6 months worth of food on your shelves. Get yourself some portable water. Get yourself a means of electricity. Because they think things are going to go bad. And if the electricity stops, the gas pumps stop. And if the gas pumps stop, you stop. That which means that if you're living in a big city, you can't get out.
Yeah. Yeah. And you got to have evacuation plan. There's just an awful lot, you know, and watch the cities burn. And martial law in the United States? Is that going to happen? You know, I think there's going to be a lot of rogue terrorists running around just hating on people because there's nothing. But then we are not the only ones talking about this. I found it on one of the Antifa sites that I watch frequently. It's really interesting to watch those kind of sites. And they were talking about the coming, Etowaki, and it's really the end of the world as we know it. Maybe, but when the election comes, even they are talking strategies for disrupting stuff right now. It's frustrating. Hey, thanks for the call, Jerry. I'm going to try to steer us back on track, but I do appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extend your life with Extendovite, a 7-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendovite. Get the dependability of Extendovite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We're back. Republic of Texas Radio. Yeah, fascinating. No, it's kind of the old story. Forever we've been told that there's technology out there that's not available to us because somebody took it, somebody killed somebody, something happened. What happened to the water-powered car? You know, so we're going all traditional. We got a little battery, a little bit of motor, here we're going to do. We're going to take it out, and we're going to save the planet from the great carbon monster in the sky. God, what a nightmare. Okay, I'll get off it, folks, at least for a minute. You know, it's a new thing, and actually it's really not about the electric car. It's going to end up being really about computer-driven cars. You know, we're a massive mainframe AI car bot that controls all cars. We'll talk about that next week, I'm sure, because I want to. Hey, you know, one of the vehicles that I used, and I'm going to say vehicles, to move from California to Texas was actually the Ron Paul Revolution. The Ron Paul Revolution was not as much about getting Ron Paul. Well, it was. I thought it would be great to get Ron Paul elected. Oh, my God. And right now I have some questions about Ron Paul again from the way that he canceled his first run, presidential run, and the way that he canceled his second one. And I go, well, don't trust you, right? But maybe he was gotten, and, well, maybe he just took the money and ran. You know, Rand Paul. That's funny. Paul Rand Paul took the money and run. Yeah, whatever. You don't care. Maybe it wasn't that funny. Anyways, Ron Paul had a stroke. That sucks, man. You know, in the middle of a live stream. Oh, my God. That's kind of embarrassing. Allegedly, he's doing well. But Ron Paul, when he was doing his Ron Paul Revolution thing, well, he wasn't doing the revolution thing. Let's straighten that out real quick. Ernie Hancock from Freedom's Phoenix took the Ron Paul presidential campaign and turned it into the revolution. And that was not run by the Ron Paul campaign. It was a bunch of hooligans on the side that were you running the revolution sign. You know, Ron Paul himself just did Ron Paul for president. There you go. But the stuff that he said and the way that he looks and so forth is very nondescript. The revolution talked about freedom and liberty and actually small government, return to a republic. Well, at least we pretended that we were going to try to do that. Good luck. We see what happened when Donald Trump got elected. You know, his party and the Democrats, you know, the Republicans and the Democrats, they both went after Trump. You know, and they're pretty much fully going after him right now. A lot of them quit, left the team. You know, he could have gotten a lot of stuff done when he came in, but I don't think that was the plan. I don't know if it was planned. It probably was. But, hey, you know, I'm just thinking. I don't have any Yeah, Ron Paul had a stroke. Yeah, that's the music. We'll come back. Hey, I got this next story. It's Fredericksburg has a lot of cheese. Does that interest you? It's kind of fun for me. Hang on, guys. We'll be right back. Praise the Mother Earth and the farther sky. Paid attention to each little blessing in this life. Had a more intimate connection with the spirit world. Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.